Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up a Second. I'm Cass. Hayden's here.
Hello.
And today we are joined by immaculate, wonderful, hilarious guest, Andy Matthews.
Fucking hell.
And today we're talking castaways.
I do not deal well with pressure.
So, Andy, can you please just riff on Castaways for a bit? Because you're so funny.
Yeah.
You're such a funny, great guy.
Funny guy. Funny.
Go on, man.
Yeah,
go on, man.
You think you're so good.
What's the ideal place to be cast away? Because I think people often think desert island.
Sure.
But I think maybe that'd be one of the worst.
I think I'd rather be stranded on a desert island.
Well, you've just hit upon the concept of the book Lost Pig in the Gustav and Henry series of novels, which are now available in Good Shop.
Really?
Yes.
Written by you?
Yeah, written by me and my friend Peter Thomas. In Gustav Lost Pig, they get stranded on a desert island, but at the end they discover one of the S's has fallen off the signs. It's actually a desert island as part of a new entirely edible theme park.
Yeah. There's a sign for desert island? That's good.
Yeah, that's one of the jokes.
Park?
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's good. I'm saying it's good.
That's why I'm loving it.
I wasn't being like, oh, that's so unrealistic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good one. Who's this for? Kids?
Yeah, well, there's not a poke holes in your story. I was admiring the joke, okay?
Where would you be stranded?
I don't know, maybe like some kind of mountain. Like on top of the mountain?
Yeah, right. Interesting. I wonder if you can be a castaway, maybe from an airship.
Well, just
were those people who all
be...
ate themselves in the Andes?
Yeah, that would be so much fun. They actually had a great time.
Oh,
yeah.
Andy in the Andes. That could be you.
That'd be really good.
And then you'd be Andy in the Andes with Andes in your Andes.
Yeah, because I'm on a plane full of Andes. We're on an Andy convention.
Yeah.
We crashed in the Andes. We all had to eat the Andes.
Yeah.
All their little Andy bodies.
With Andes in your Andes, and you pointed at your stomach. And I like that we all just sort of agreed that Andes is a fine name for your insides now. We all agree.
My Andes.
You can call your insides your Andes. That's fine. The joke works.
Wait,
is that what you...
Time to get inside my cash.
So your insides are just you, your Haydens.
I'm my brain, and I live in my body.
Okay, all right. I can get around that.
This is my Cass.
But isn't... Yeah. Okay, you're in your Cass. Okay, I see. I get you.
I'm Cass, and I live in a Cass.
Yeah, I think you
also... There's only one of this, so I got to name it, and I named it after me.
I like to think that you're not your brain, but you're the electricity going through your brain. I think that's sort of nice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm the mind.
You're the mind. You're the, you know, just bits of electricity shooting through, connecting.
I don't like to think about it at all.
I like
it. Because then I feel like I'm using the electricity to think about electricity and it gets all confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever feel cheeky anytime you think about the brain too hard and you're like, hey, I know who's doing this?
you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah.
Anytime
I know.
I'm like, wow, the brain's amazing, I'm like, shut up.
Oh, are you now? Really? Are you? Why am I so anxious all the time, idiot?
I mean, we say the brain's
amazing, good. Why am I depressed? Huh?
But everybody who says the brain is amazing is thinking that with their brain. I mean, ask a foot. What does a foot think about the brain?
Yeah.
Probably not so good all of a sudden.
No.
Just kicking it.
Yeah, man.
I remember this old, I don't know if it's quite a joke, Maybe it's a fable.
That, that's one of what our... I do on stage. If I say, if one of my jokes doesn't go well, I say, well, that was a fable. That was a fable anyway.
But it was a story about who's the best in the body, and the butthole was like, I'm actually the best. And all the rest of the body, you know, the liver laughed at the butthole, and the heart laughed at the butthole, and the brain, the smuggest of all, laughed at the butthole. And the butthole said, I'll show you. And he closed up, and he clogged up the bowel. And every, I don't know the medical reasons behind this. The person that told us this was a nurse, and they sort of talked about the science behind it. But just trust me. and, you know, the liver clogged up or whatever and got all poisoned, and everyone got all jaundiced or whatever and turned yellow, and the eyes went cross-eyed, and the brain got all foggy. And then the butthole released, and everything sort of fixed, and the butthole said, hey, how about that? I'm actually the best.
Yeah, wow.
Is that a fable or a joke?
Aesop's fable. The butthole of the brain.
It's kind of a joke.
No, that's very serious.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my favorite things about the bum?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
So, some people might know this, some people might not. You've actually got two rings of muscles in your bum. And the one that's on the outside of you is the one that's responsible for pushing, so like pushing things out. And then you've got one on the inside that is responsible for holding things in. The one on the inside that's responsible for holding things in, you can't consciously control. You can only consciously control the outer one.
Wow.
So that is where...
The first, last, and only line of defense.
Yeah. We're a tube, and the bum, so like that inner ring, right?
Yeah.
We're a hollow tube, and that ring is responsible to make sure stuff doesn't fall out.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't have consciousness control over that.
But I would have thought that the one on the outside, why is the one on the outside doing the pushing? Hey, surely that can't push. Is it for pushing things out or?
Pushing things out. So the inner one has to release.
Release.
In order for the outer one to be able to do the pushing.
I think the outer one's surely only just cutting off, doing this, the scissoring between
like a guillotine,
the poops to stop it from being a continuous.
I thought it would be one long poo that you'd never finish.
I just don't see how something that's on the outside can push things. Right?
I think the aim is...
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do know what you mean.
My criticism of the butthole system?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, but if the butthole closed up, you may criticize, but if the butthole closed up, the brain would go foggy and the eyes would cross and the liver would get all jaundiced. So
maybe it is a joke. That's funny.
Yeah.
I think the inner one releases to allow things to go through.
Yes.
And then the outer one's like... Let's get this moving.
Yeah.
But I see what you mean, and
it's
now
like an
I'm
airlock
confused.
Almost, right?
Yeah.
You know, that inner one is like an airlock.
I mean, they're right next to each other.
Mm. How close are they?
Touching.
They're touching?
Yeah, it's the same. It's like one after the other. And that is why if you ever want to pop something in your bum, you have to make sure it's got a flared base, because that inner ring stops all of us from falling out of us. So if anything goes in, your inner ring's like, oh, I got it. Don't worry.
Yeah. This isn't coming out.
It's like, I've fixed
finally,
it.
It's my time to shine.
Yeah, it's like, got it, done, I'm on top of it, closing. Yeah. And then you have to go to hospital.
Why do you, look, so you get something stuck in your bum, right? You put a toy car up there or whatever, or a banana or something, no flared base.
Yes.
And then it's hold on and it's up there. Couldn't you just hang out and eventually poop it out? Why do you need to go to hospital?
I think in some
cases... It's like a breached birth, I imagine, you know. It'll just pointing the wrong way.
Maybe pointing the wrong way. You might be able to get it out, but it depends on like also on the size. And it also depends on your brain because, okay, have you ever gone to jump into a pool and all your friends are in the pool and you sort of do that weird thing where you go to jump and your feet stay still?
Yeah, it's like your whole body jumps but your feet are like nailed to the...
Yeah, it's because... So your brain is like, oh, that's safe. That's safe. I can see all my friends in the pool. I'm safe. And then you go to do that jump thing and your body's like, oh, we don't know that. We don't know that.
Right.
And so,
we didn't all agree. I never signed nothing.
Exactly. So that is why... Sorry for being crass. You could do a big poo, but if someone was like, your body's fine.
You know what? You can.
Yeah, and you
can. You can.
And you can check the size of stuff that comes out of you, and you're like, I did a great job.
Yeah.
And
where's the lie? So far, everything you've said, scads.
Very
perfect.
True. But if someone was like, hey, what about you put this small item in your bum? You'd be like, no. Because your body doesn't know it's safe yet. Your body's like, no. Even though... 100% you could definitely do that physically and be comfortable because of the things that have come out of you, same hole.
Yeah.
Your body doesn't know yet, and you get the thing of jumping into the pool. They used to, you know those old polygraph tests that used to have...
Who's they?
Jumping into a pool, by the way, perfect metaphor.
Yes. Dropping the kids off. Yeah. Get them in there. But you know those old polygraph tests where you'd like, they'd have the little zig-zig-zig-zig thing on the side?
Like a little pen attached to an arm or whatever?
Yeah. They actually, you would sit on a plate... because you have no control over that inner ring to the point where they could tell if you were lying from the way your bum tensed.
Whoa, cool.
You literally can't do it.
Yeah, but I think they were very wildly inaccurate, those polygraph tests.
But we say talking out of your ass when you're lying, but really we should say talking out of your ass when you're speaking nothing but the truth.
Exactly, and my butthole's fully relaxed right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think a part of having to get something out of your bum is that your body's like, oh, no, scary. We don't know about that. In was tricky enough. Let's not do out.
Right, so you seize up, you think.
I reckon
you couldn't just let nature take its course. Drink a lot of water and some bran.
You'd be able to, especially if it was solid, you'd be able to physically feel it inside your body. Yeah. And I reckon that would be quite stressful.
Yeah, I reckon you're probably right.
And stress, yeah. Mm. And your inner hole does such a good job. Nothing's falling out of that.
So where would you be cast away, Andy?
I think we say desert island. A lot of the time I think we actually mean tropical island.
Yeah.
When we say desert island, and I imagine they're very different things, right?
Well, is a desert island just basically a big sandbar? Like it's just sand?
I thought people meant deserted island. I thought desert was a way that we had stuffed up deserted.
Or it could be, the same etymology. Etymology?
I mean, we're all
entomology?
Thinking of...
No, that's
you've had this conversation on the podcast before. And
we?
Yes.
What? Really?
What podcast? About desert islands?
Yes, I listened to it recently. Pretty sure.
About desert islands?
You know what? Maybe it was a different podcast.
No. Fuck.
But the entomology question.
I've had that before.
Because one's bugs. Entomology is bugs. I'm on an entomology page on Facebook.
Nice.
So I'd like a tropical island. I'd like the coconut lifestyle.
Yes. You know.
Have you ever tried to break a coconut open?
I've tried to get into one to get to the milk inside, and I was smashing.
As opposed to all the other reasons to open a coconut.
Yeah, for no reasons, milk reasons. Don't ask
weird,
about it.
Nothing weird.
Definitely not an octopus trying to make a home for itself. No.
I saw a shadow in the waters overhead, and I needed to disguise myself. And I looked it up online, how you're supposed to do it, and you're supposed to, like, hammer it around the middle of the outside,
you get sort of a
right?
Hairline crack.
You get some hairline cracks going on. Tap, tap, tap around. But I did. I was like, I don't want to damage the bench top. Put the cutting board on there, wooden cutting board. Uh-huh. Tap, 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 tap. Cutting board snapped in half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Did you get into
really
the coconut? Upset.
A wooden cutting board.
Yeah.
How thick?
It was like an inch.
Wow.
Oh my god. Well, I suppose hairline cracks are hairline cracks.
Yeah.
I guess so.
You can't.
And
you can't
I both of them
go.
Came from a tree. So
indeed,
that's
yeah,
true.
Tree on tree. which tree thing will win? But I in the coconut, right? That's the seed of a coconut tree.
Must be, yeah.
Palm. Where's the seed? Which bit is the seed? Like, you'd think that if you cracked it open, there'd be like a little thing
a
in there.
Or
but
something.
Maybe the whole thing is the seed. Maybe that.
That can't be right.
Pith business. Maybe that white stuff. Maybe that's like the stuff, you know, that's going to grow into the coconut. How does the baby coconut get out? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that is interesting. Maybe there's a bunch of like microscopic, almost sperm-like seeds that are sort of. But then you would think if a coconut was sort of half buried or fully buried.
Yes.
I mean, I would think that the inside would decay before the outside.
Right.
The outside feels like all you see
all
is husks.
And horrible.
They live forever, those things.
Maybe
like
they come out one of those little holes. You know how there's those
little holes?
Yeah, that must be it. Like the little bowling ball bit.
Yeah.
Surely.
Do you reckon we came up with bowling balls because of coconuts?
It's got to be.
It has
it's
to
gotta
be.
It has to be.
There's otherwise, that is just...
Convergent evolution. It was inevitable.
Yeah.
It's like when everything becomes a crab. Every round object is going to become a bowling
it's
ball.
That one.
That would be good. Yeah, if you're on the desert island or deserted island, lots of fun games you can play with the coconut.
Exactly.
You can just piff coconuts and stuff. Hours of entertainment.
I think the thing is, the appeal is like, I love my family.
Yeah, of course.
And I want to spend all my time with them.
Mm.
But I also would like some free time.
Yeah.
And I think...
If you had to choose one or the other.
I think if you're on a deserted island, I don't have to feel bad about
it's
having time
no
away
pressure.
From my family.
Yeah.
If I think of being on a deserted island,
yeah,
I'm
just
like,
just miss them
oh
without
my
any
God.
Guilt.
Exactly.
How lovely.
No, that's just one thing. I don't have to have, because normally when I'm away from them, I miss them and I feel guilt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm deserted island. As long as it wasn't my fault that I didn't crash the
No.
Zeppelin.
But I think you'd still find a way to feel guilty. You'd be like, why did I get on that boat with that strange man?
You know me very well.
Yeah, why did I choose to fly instead of, you know,
Okay, let's all promise if we ever end up on a deserted island, we're just going to feel great.
Yeah, let's be kind to ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's be nice. We're already on a deserted island. I want me and Hayden to pull up on that deserted island to find you in a little handmade hat drinking out of a coconut with a straw you fashioned from a crab leg.
Yeah.
And I want you to be like, oh! And I want you to be it's cocktail hour. Do you want to come?
Yeah. Do you want a pina colada? It's just coconut juice.
I want to take you off the island and as you're leaving be like, you know, I really think I'll miss this place.
That'd be so nice. And then I'll feel guilty. I'll not only miss it, but I'll feel guilty that I'm not on the island.
Mm. Ah!
Then you'll feel guilty for missing the island.
Yeah.
Ah, man, the back of my laptop is naked and disgusting. Everywhere I go, I see people look and give it stares of discomfort and shame. If only there was a way of making it pure and right in the eyes of God. Oh, shit. Yes, there is. SansPantsRadio.com/shop and cover it in far too many stickers. Now no one will question my morals or my faith in the heavenly creator, for I have covered up my laptop's gross dirty bits. Thank you, SansPantsRadio.com/shop, for this wondrous gift.
This may be my own sort of, maybe ego, but I honestly think I would fucking nail it if I was on a dessert. I think I would do so good. If I had a big knife. I've had a big knife. No big knife, I'm dead. But if I had a big knife, I reckon I could figure it out.
Oh, my God. To thatch a roof?
I could do it. I could do it.
The satisfaction that would come from building a little hut. Surely the first one's going to fall down a bit.
Yeah.
Waking up the next day, fixing it. Within a week, I reckon I'm going to be so proud of myself.
Yeah.
I love, what's it called? It's not called getting handsy. Hands-on work.
Building.
Yeah.
Construction.
Being handy.
Yeah, being handy, not handsy. I love being handy. I love being handy. I like restoring furniture. I like building things.
Andy's full of Andy's in the Andy's being handy.
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I totally agree. You know what? Another part, I love hard rubbish, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously the ship hits the rocks, it sinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bad, terrible, bodies in the water.
It's a ship that's full of hard rubbish.
You make it a thing, but then like all that flotsam jetsam starts floating up on the beach.
Ooh.
You know, it's hard rubbish day, baby. Yeah. And you're going around, you're finding the little bits and pieces.
Eventually find all the parts to a trampoline over 3 or 4 years.
Exactly.
The idea that you could both forage and scavenge.
Yeah.
A bit satisfying.
Oh, absolutely.
And you'd get ripped.
You're recycling, you're upcycling, you're getting ripped, your body's fantastic, you're tanned.
If you're eating crabs and coconut exclusively and also working out a lot, would you get ripped? Is that enough protein, do you think? Probably.
I think you'd be doing great.
Mm. I think you'd get, you know how marathon runners look?
Yes.
I think you'd look like that. So
sort of skinny and lean and muscly.
Yeah,
right?
Lean and muscly, but it's not that your muscles are big, it's that you have no body fat. I mean, obviously, marathon runners are really fit. They have muscles as well. It's a difference between when the muscles stick out or when the fat sticks in.
Yeah. I got really into books like this when I was a kid. So Robinson Crusoe, Swiss Family Robinson, Coral Island, all that stuff. Swiss Family Robinson is so insane in terms of all the stuff that they build.
Did they survive? Is that the one where they trained monkeys to be butlers?
Probably. Mm. Yes. They do everything else. They build a fully functional steam engine. You know, they make enormous underground towns.
Underground towns?
They've got literally every animal on the island. Like they find a fucking platypus and an elephant.
Whoa. Oh. It's like Lost.
It's too much.
Mm, that is a lot.
Do you reckon it would feel cool to obviously be horrible, but eventually just becoming a little bit immune to bug bites? Like they just wouldn't even faze you anymore.
I think the amount of agony you'd have to go through to get there.
Oh, it's not I guess worth
you,
it.
I, but I guess you would, yeah, I think you, yeah, you would be proud.
I was thinking, but I don't know if you would. That's the thing. I don't know if you get immune to parasites.
And not parasites. Just bug bites.
Do you mean like the annoyance and like the pain or like.
Because you see that footage of those caribou. Right?
Yeah.
In the Siberia or whatever. And they get driven completely mad by the mosquitoes and they flee up to like up to, you know, because, you know, when the sun comes and everything melts and there's all this grass and stuff, it's great, but there's so many mosquitoes. Yeah. They just get driven to distraction. They flee up into the frozen stuff up to the top of the mountains again, even though there's no food and that sort of thing.
Yeah, just
and some of them literally get drained of blood to death by mosquitoes.
Fuck.
Maybe I don't want to go where the mosquitoes are.
Yeah, I think that maybe would be the worst bit of being deserted on a desert island is the bugs.
Do you know right? what I would
An
have
entomologist
to...
would know.
why would it knowing words help with that?
I reckon something that if I'm ever considering being on a deserted island, I'd be so scared of getting so sunburned that I'd die.
Yeah. You'd cover yourself in mud or something.
I reckon I'd have to be under the shade for most of it. I'd have to try and test that theory of having a tan preventing sunburn, which I really don't think is true, but I'd be doing my best to avoid melanoma.
Yeah. I feel like it'd be like when you go on holiday for the first time in ages and then you get sunburned on the first day and you're like, oh God, I've done it again. That's what you do on the desert island. Like, oh no, my life is ruined because I'm now sunburned forever.
The scene in the Tom Hanks movie Castaway where he knocks out his own tooth.
Oh,
with ice skate.
The ice skate. You also don't see the scene in which he has to cut out his own melanomas with the same ice skate.
Yeah. Oh,
that's less good. And the dentistry one was bad enough.
Yeah, but the home surgeries. Mm. That's
just don't get
life.
Injured.
That's island life.
Yeah, I wouldn't get injured. That's my other thing.
Yeah.
Would you like to know some facts about the movie Castaway?
Yes, please.
About the movie Castaway? Okay, yeah.
Okay,
my facts are questions.
Okay.
It's a quiz.
I feel like you're really
We're
putting
post-truth
the,
right now.
Yeah.
How much money do you think FedEx paid to be in that movie?
That's a really great question.
Whoa. See, that is a good question because they don't look great.
No, they do.
Movie.
The whole point is this is how dedicated FedEx
people
are. And at the end, he delivers the parcel.
But doesn't the plane go down?
The plane goes down, but like you see Tom Hanks as the executive and he's like, look, I put an atomic clock in this envelope. If this isn't in Botswana in 24 hours, you're all, we're the most dedicated delivery company in the world.
Even if it takes us 5 years and someone's stuck on a desert island.
Yeah. And I lose my wife.
Yeah.
I'm going to say $12 million.
All right.
I reckon they did it for nothing. I reckon they paid nothing and Castaway were like, you know, we like FedEx. Let's just do it for free. They're great.
Okay. How much do you reckon Tom Hanks got paid to be in that film?
Same thing. Did it for free. Did it for the craft.
Didn't even know there was a film.
You know how they do like one for them, one for you? That was the one for him. That was the one
that
for
was
him.
His pro bono
okay,
film.
Okay. I reckon Tom Hanks got $20 million.
All right. And last question. How much do you reckon Wilson, the volleyball and other sporting goods company, paid to be in that movie?
Wow. Yeah, okay, $2
million. $5
million.
I don't know money. I don't know how much anything costs.
Okay, you both got one right.
What?
Tom Hanks got paid $20 million.
Well done.
And FedEx and Wilson paid nothing.
Really?
They paid no money to be in those movies.
Wow.
Wait, so that was true. They just like FedEx. I guess that had to be something.
Had to be something. They just picked FedEx, and FedEx, came off really well after that film.
You think
you'd, obviously, Wilson Volleyball, like, people are still buying those to dress up as
Wilson.
The castaway.
Yeah. He's yelling the brand the whole time.
He's yelling
Wilson!
The brand!
Wilson! Yeah, wow.
No money exchanged hands, which means it can't be like deemed a product placement or a brand deal.
Yeah, right. They just love it.
You know what that means? We should start a sporting goods company called Decapitated Skulls. and now every time there's somebody does a version of Hamlet or something like that, or anything where anybody's head gets chopped off, people will be like Decapitated Skulls.
Oh yeah.
It would be a really cool idea. I'm getting really into niches at the moment.
Yeah.
Just all kinds of niches?
If you're going to get into anything,
I love
niches. It's a great thing to get into.
Generally.
That's your niche, is other niches.
Yeah, my niche is niche. To start manufacturing, like, amazing prop skulls for, like, a mid-range price.
Yeah.
Like, they're not the cheap stuff. They're not the really expensive stuff. So that any...
Fill the gap.
Yeah, so that any time a theatre production puts on any play, you're like, oh, yeah. Well, we'll go with these guys because it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's a bit pricey, but it's worth it.
Yeah, it's not like an expensive replica. Well, and we make them for the stage, so like from 2 feet away, yes, they look immaculate, but they don't have the detail and therefore the expensive price of needing to look photorealistic.
In the movie that's made about your this idea, it will emerge that you are really killing people for the skulls, and that's the way in which you're able to get such realistic looking skulls.
Yeah, although I think in most productions, not most, but in some like major productions of Hamlet and stuff, they use a real human skull, don't they?
I think people have left their skulls to theatre companies to be.
I think it happens all the time because my friend in high school, I mean, he's still alive, but he was always like, I want to, you can donate your body to science. He's like, I want to donate my body to the arts.
To the arts, to theatre.
I want my skull to be a, you know, skull in Hamlet or whatever. But I would think that there would be a huge surplus of skulls, right?
They've got them kicking around.
I reckon that'd be cool to do it to me. Take my skull, scoop my brains out, donate my face to someone, and then, you know, obviously do what you want with my organs. And then, put me on stage so I can tread the boards after death.
I don't want anyone to have my organs after death, but just my skull.
Yeah.
You're going through the wallet after the car accident. Oh, another bloody theatre skull donor.
Sorry, kids.
You turn to all the children who need kidney transplants.
Who are just waiting by the
kids,
car crash.
Anyone mounting Hamlet anytime soon? Obviously not you, Tim. We just got the results. And unless it's very soon.
I'm big on scrap me for parts.
Yeah.
Are there any parts you don't want scrapped?
Not really.
I think I used to say I didn't want my face donated, but now I'm like, fuck it. Donate my face. Who cares? Donate. Scrap me. I'm not using it.
Break it down. Use everything.
Yeah.
Use my toenails to make jelly.
Ooh. It'd be cool to... Because you know how they say it's not true, but your hair and nails keep growing after death.
Yeah.
As I'm dying, I'm like... commence the part scrapping. And so like the second I die, they're scalping me, and then my hair actually keeps to get growing after I die, like someone gets a hair transplant.
They scalp you, right? Okay, not just cut your hair.
Not sell
like
you for
fully...
a very high price outside a Amy Stadium. Is that what you were imagining?
No, I was imagining shaving your hair. Oh. Like you're fully taking the scalp off.
Oh yeah, do a hair transplant.
Yeah, get the plugs going.
Yeah, I think my hair it has already started turning white.
Yeah,
and I'm excited. I'm in a transitional phase at the moment because I like my other color because it's a bit ombre because I've had it for so long. The other bits are a bit sun bleached, but I'm excited for when it all goes white.
Yeah.
Because that'll be so silly. I can just put little rinses through it, but there is going to be a weird period where I look insane for a bit.
Are you going grey, Andy? You seem to have an immaculate head of hair.
Well, it's going
to
be very hard to tell, I think, because
you're
of the blondness.
Blonde,
think, you know, a grey hair or a white hair in amongst so much blondness.
You're reflecting so much light.
It would reflect the blonde, well.
So get lost in the crowd. Yeah. I think it's going to be a relatively easy transition. But I did see recently, I looked at my head, I used the other bathroom in our house that I never used, and the light was coming from a different angle.
Yeah.
And it like shone straight in between all my hairs. And I was like, oh, I can see so much scalp. I was like, oh, okay. This is the first time I've seen through my hair like that and be like, okay, this could be thinning.
Oh, no. It's happened.
But no, it's fine.
You look good.
You know, for about 2 minutes there, I was like, age. Time.
Makes fools of us all.
I was like, it'd be all good.
I started doing the rosemary spritz on my hair.
I don't know what that is.
You just boil a heap. I think you meant to use rosemary oil. My hair's too greasy for that. But you just boil a heap of rosemary, make a heap of tea, and you just cover your scalp in it every time you wash your hair.
What does that do?
Makes it grow. The best review I heard for it, because I was like, oh, apparently it works. And so many people are like, this is doing great. The thing that convinced me to give it a go was this girl who was using, I think she was using the oil. And she was like, oh, I'm so stupid. I've been covering my hair with the oil, but I've been putting so much on that it's dripped down the sides of my face. And she's like, now I've got sideburns. And I'm like,
whoa,
you can't do that, placebo. Like, I'm sure you could look at your hair after you've been, and that's another thing, massaging your head helps with hair growth because it's promoting blood flow to the area.
That makes sense, I suppose.
So when you put oil and stuff in your hair and you massage the hair, I'm like, it could just be the massaging. I'll just give myself little head scratches. I've been good.
Yeah.
But no, you can't placebo because she's not massaging her sideburns.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the real test would be, you know, putting rosemary on something and massaging it.
Mm.
It would be if you pull a leg of lamb out of the oven and it's covered in hair, then we'll know. Then we'll know.
Would you guys like to hear some history of some castaways?
Yes, tell us.
Let me tell you a very shortened tale of Jose Salvador Alvarenga, otherwise known as the man who's lost at sea the longest out of anyone in recorded history.
Okay, well, if this is going to be a short version, both of those names are way too long.
No, that was it.
Okay, that's the end. That's all we had time for, sorry.
How long do you think the longest man who's been... So he's lost at sea for a while and was very briefly on an island, then got rescued. How long do you think he was lost for?
Okay, I'm going to say, yeah, wow, great answer. Mm-hmm. Great answer. I feel like I can't do better than 7 months.
Yes, you could. Have a go.
9 months.
Mm, well, you've guessed in months, and I only know the days. I'm sure I can. Actually, wait, it was 14 months.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
So it was...
Because there would have been people who spent much longer just on an island, right? But the thing is, this guy's lost at sea.
He was lost at sea, yeah. So it was 438 days, I believe, which is the name of the book that I have read. It's really good.
Yeah, great.
Although I think if I was going to write that book, I wouldn't have called it 438 days. Because it's kind of a bit of a spoiler of how long he's lost at sea. You're like, well, it's day 18 and it's looking grim, but... This is just the beginning.
I would have called it 10 plus days.
Yeah, I lost it. I just would have called it lost at sea, probably.
N days, where N is a number.
Yeah.
A
number.
But wouldn't you get to day 18 and notice that there's most of the book left?
Well, yeah, I guess so, but
the,
you know.
The format the is the spoiler. Of days. Imagine picking up a book called Lost at Sea and it's like 50 pages. You're like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah. But there is a section of the book, I can't remember exactly the number, but it's like, you know, day 210 or something, and then it skips forward to like day 300, like the next chapter, because like, yeah, in that 90-100 days, nothing was really going on.
Yeah.
He was in his boat. So he was on a fishing boat. He was a fisherman. It was him and another guy who we didn't really know very well. It was like a replacement guy for a fishing trip. Got lost in a storm. Basically, I can't remember if the boat flipped, but all their stuff fell out of the boat. The engine got flooded. So it was just basically they were floating in a tin can with no roof on it, but they had a big esky that you put the fish in. But they, at one point, got rid of all the fish because the boat was sinking, because they had so much fish in the esky. So there was just an empty esky that they hid in from the sun every day. The second guy died eventually. Also, big spoilers for the book. Second guy died. No one knows if he ate him or not. He says he didn't. I don't think he did, but, you know, he might have. Either way, basically the way he survived for so long was he'd spend all day on in the esky, like on upside down. He's not upside down. The esky's upside down from the sun. He would lie, because in the middle of the ocean, if there's a boat, fish just sort of congregate there because I guess it's somewhere to be.
Yeah, something to do.
So there'd be heaps of fish around him and also heaps of sharks as well and also heaps of birds all the time. Like, it was kind of a weird little floating ecosystem because, you know, algae and stuff was going on the boat.
I would think that if you'd be under that esky in the day, it would still get really fucking hot under there.
Well, yeah, but it's either getting hot in the esky or getting sunburnt you to shit. But what he would do is he would lie out of the esky perfectly still for hours and hours and hours and wait for a seagull to land in front of him. Then he'd grab the seagull, break its wings, and like leave it in the boat, and then eventually would eat it and drink its blood. But he got so good at it that halfway through the trip, he just had a boat full of broken winged seagulls because he got really good at it, and he spent all his time doing it. He also drank a lot of turtle blood. Apparently, turtle blood really yummy.
So they were alive.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, he killed them and ate them. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. Also, he hung out with a whale shark. A whale shark was following the boat for a little while.
Oh.
Bit of fun.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Mm.
Sounds like a real good time.
Anyway, that's the story. And then he was floating for, 430-something days, found an island, was lost in the island for a little bit, and then ran into some people and got rescued.
I think that the... I don't know if I, I don't know if I count that as a castaway. I think you got to fall onto an island.
He was cast away from the.
I think he's just away.
But he was cast.
No,
from
I don't
shore.
Think he was cast.
He was cast into the ocean.
Okay, so when you cast a rod, where do you throw the rod? Where do you throw it? Do you throw it from the boat to the land?
Yes.
Or do you throw it from the land to the water?
I go onto the ocean.
Yeah.
I cast my rod onto land and I try and catch land animals. Rabbits and things.
That could be a fun little, if you're sort of bored of fishing, you're really a masterful fisherman.
Yeah.
Fisher person? What's the gender neutral fisherman term?
Angler.
Angler. Good one. Yeah. Maybe that's a fun little sort of extension on it.
Mammaling?
You get on a boat and you try and catch a rabbit from really far away. That's good
because the target, I mean, the target's obviously moving a little bit. Oh, no, it's the same with fishing, isn't it?
Yeah,
the fish do move. No, but I'm thinking, like, the boat's moving. I'm like, wow, another level of difficulty. But you can fish from boats.
It might be easier because there's sort of one less dimension. Because your fish can go up or down and also, you know, side to side and front to back. Whereas a land animal's mostly on a flat plane.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but you're going up, down, side to side.
Easier physically, not easier emotionally or morally.
No, still very difficult.
Very upsetting.
Yeah.
And then you kiss the rabbit on the mouth
to catch
throw it back into its hole.
Yeah.
Horrible.
That is horrible. Well, on that note, I've been Hayden.
I've been Cass.
I've been Andy.
Andy, thank you very much for joining us. Gustav and Henry in all good bookstores now.
Yeah, Gustav.
Worldwide?
We're in America. There's a beautiful hardcover version in the US.
Oh my god!
Get.
Collectors.
It's got a shiny silver writing on the front. Ooh, it's really, really nice.
That
Do
is
we get
nice.
That here?
No, we don't get that here.
Why?
Yeah, well, I don't know. They just get better things over there.
Yeah,
no, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Also, two in the think tank with ATB.
Yep.
Great podcast.
Phenomenal pod.
Oh, thank you very much.
Mm.
Yep, you can listen to that anytime you choose. There's 357 episodes of us coming up with five sketch ideas.
And every 100 episodes, you guys come up with that number of sketch ideas.
Yes, so we had episode 100. You did 100 sketch idea episode, a 200 sketch idea episode, a 300 sketch idea episode, and we're terrifyingly close to doing the 400.
Yeah,
it's coming up.
I was listening to episode 350, and I was like, wow, they're halfway to doing 400.
No.
I was there when they did the 300.
Yeah.
That didn't feel like that long ago.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
So that'll be fun. So 400 sketch ideas.
Yeah.
Have you started planning it yet? Because it's not that far away.
There's never any planning.
Yeah.
Other than
idea.
To say that, like, when we did the 100th sketch idea episode, we planned to make a goblet out of cheese and drink wine from a cheese goblet. We did that.
You did it?
I think episode 400, we might have had a bouquet of salad, but I can't remember.
Yeah, a bouquet of salad. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. How long did the 300 episode go for? How long did you spend recording it?
I think it went for about 21 hours.
Gee whiz. Yeah.
You should.
Oh, well, add another 25% to that.
Yeah. Good times.
Mm.
Looking forward to it.
I think everyone is.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.